Prepare to be captivated by the business story of the week, hosted by me, Shaheen Shan. Join us on a journey through the twists and turns of entrepreneurial triumphs and setbacks. Immerse yourself in the narrative and witness the magic that turns dreams into reality. This is Business Story of the Week.
And welcome back, folks. Welcome back to Business Story of the Week. I am your host, Joshua. And today we've got a very special guest today. I have been looking forward to this interview. He's someone that Podcast Goal is going to be working for the foreseeable future. So watch out for that. But also, you know, we always bring you guests that inspire and motivate. And this man, you know, is the epitome of that inspiration and motivation that we try to share on this show. Zenyika, the Firestarter Street, is a powerhouse. He's the man, the myth, the legend, an executive coach for men. He helps men raise the bar in their business, their body, and their being through his coaching platform, the All In CEO. His personal mission is to help 1 million plus men redefine heart-centered leadership and create generational wealth in their business. Zenyika is also a dedicated husband and father, emphasizing the importance of family and personal relationships in his coaching philosophy. Zenyika is committed to teaching men how to step into true masculine leadership and awaken their passion, power, and purpose, and lighting that fire in all aspects of life. Ladies and gentlemen, I am very excited to introduce you, Zenyika, the Firestarter himself, Street. Zenyika, how are you doing? Thank you for being on the show. Welcome to Business Story of the Week.
Thank you for having me, Joshua. It's a pleasure to be here.
I mean, it is quite a remarkable... first of all, a remarkable story and a remarkable mission that you are doing with your company, the All In Man. But before we really get into that, you know, I like to start at the beginning. I like to start at the roots all the time, the way I start this conversation. You know, your journey from being a Division I college athlete to becoming the Firestarter and founding the All In Man is an incredible journey. Could you share to us a lot of pivotal moments and experience that shaped that path? Something in your childhood, something, you know, towards your, you know, you call it your rock bottom sandwich. But what were the experiences that shaped your path towards coaching and deciding that I am going to empower high achieving married businessmen and men of all walks of life? It is a long story.
Pivotal points in the story. What I will tell you is that at a high level, you know, the guys that I coach are very, they're all high performing guys in their lives. They're all very accomplished, seasoned, executives, leaders, you know, guys that are operating in leadership status. Here's one of the things that I realized in this process is that what happens is that every guy who is looking to level up his life, many guys think that they need everything. They think they need the whole, they need to fix everything. They need to, you know, all the different stuff, and they get all the books and all the courses and all the things. And it's like, I got to fix everything. I got to do a whole overhaul. And what I've come to realize is that most guys, what they really just need is a quarter turn.
Wow.
They just need a quarter turn, just literally a slight turn. A slight turn into clarity, slight turn into focus, a slight turn into going in from what to how, just a quarter turn. And that quarter turn is, and the distinction I like to tell people is that, you know, while therapy is about emotional processing and everything like that, which is, therapy has its value in its own context, Coaching isn't therapy. Uh-huh. You know, coaching is training.
Of course.
And for the guy that goes all in his life, he is stepping into training. He's stepping into the highest level of his training.
Right.
So that he can understand how to be effective in his leadership. So he can understand how to be effective in his communication. So he can understand mm-hmm. how to be effective as a father. So he can understand how to be effective in all the areas that most guys think are just things that you either know or you don't know. But the guy that wants to go all in is like, oh, you know what? I want to level up my training. Mm-hmm. I want to level up my training. As a Division I college athlete, one of the things that I tell my son, he plays Pop Warner football. Pop Warner is the youth football league out here. And, you know, my son thinks that, you know, we were having a conversation one day and I was talking to him. I said, you know, you go to practice, right? And everybody knows what practice is. You know what practice is, right? So he goes to practice.
It's just practice.
And then he goes to football practice. And he's like, oh, you know, I go to practice. And then when I go to practice, I'm going to get better in practice and I'm going to play in the game. But that's what most people think. Most people think that when you go to practice, you get better and then you play in the game. That's why most people don't understand what it is in sports. I'm a Division I college athlete. I don't say former because I'm not former. I play D1 but basketball. The way that it works is that what people don't understand is that practice is not made for you to get better. Practice is not made for you to improve in your skill level. Practice is not made for you to improve. You can improve in practice, but practice is not the purpose of practice is not for you to get better as an individual player. The purpose of practice is for your team. It's for you. It's to understand plays. It's to build camaraderie. It's to understand your coaches. It's to do all those different things. Mm-hmm. And then when you show up in practice in a certain way, then you play in the game. But the thing that most people forget is they forget the training.
Right.
There's three parts. You train, and then you get better in your training, which improves your skill set, your acuity, your ability, and then you get to practice. And then your training improves the way you practice. And then when you're better in practice because of your training, you beat people out in practice so you can play in the game. That's the way that it works. Training, practice, then the game. Wow. What most people do is they think, oh, I'm just going to do a little bit of practice and then I'm going to get in the game and then I'm going to be a star in my life. That's not the way it works, Joshua. That's not the way it works. The all-in man is a man who trains. Yes. He understands the value of training. He understands the value of going of what it means to be on the floor every day. Look, I'm in the gym at 4:30 in the morning every day. I'm at 3:55 a.m. in my morning practice. Then I go to the gym. I'm in my gym workout literally for 2 hours. I'm out there at 6:30. Actually, I do my cardio between 6:30 and 7. I'm back home by 7:15. Every day.
Wow.
And the way that I operate is that the way that I move as it relates to the way that I show up in my training has been some of the most transformative work in my life. But the reason why this is so important to me, Joshua, is because I didn't realize that I didn't understand how to train in my life.
There you go.
I used to think that you just knew how to be a good husband, or you just knew how to be effective in relationship with your partner, or you just knew how to be effective as a leader, or you just knew, you either knew it or you didn't know it. I didn't know that those things were things that you had to learn. And then to learn them, that you had to train in them. So there are aspects of myself that I wasn't aware that I had to train. So I wasn't aware of the training, and I didn't have mentorship at the time to inform me that it was critical for me to start training, you know?
Right.
So, you know, so that rock bottom sandwich that you talked about, you know, 8 years ago, I was in a rock bottom sandwich. I was, you know, financially broke, emotionally broken, you know, 2 DUIs, girlfriend's paying the bills, 40 pounds overweight. Ooh. And my life is really, you know, just everything was really crashing around me. And part of the reason that that was the case is because I used to think that the people who were playing in the game, who were stars in the game, they just naturally got there. But what I didn't understand is that they were training.
Right.
They were, people call it personal development, and they think personal development is about fixing things that are broken. No, it's about training. You're in a training environment. That's what mentorship is. It's training. You're in a coaching environment. It's training. You're training yourself. Mm-hmm. You're learning how to train effectively. It's like you're hopping on the treadmill and you're just training a different aspect of yourself so you can step up into different areas of your life. Now, so mm-hmm. when I was at the lowest point in my life, what I didn't realize at the time was that I needed to step into higher levels of mentorship, but I was fearful of asking for help because I thought if you ask for help, that means you're broken. But what I didn't understand is that every great player has a coach because the coach helps them train. It trains their mind. They give them the way that they get to operate in the practice course. So it was all what I was doing is I didn't understand is I thought I was trying to fix things that were broken. And my coach was like, no, you just stop it. You're stepping into a higher level training environment. So that's what was the big transformation for me. It was allowing myself to be in environments with guys who would help me to understand the power, the value, the necessity, and the way of effective training.
Well, and I want to highlight what you said in that men are fixers, right? We want to just fix things. We want to be the one to fix a door, fix a plumbing, and try to just fix our lives, right? But I love how you kind of elevated that in that you don't have to fix. You actually need to just train. You need to be better at training yourself and being better individually before you start going into practice and coming into that, environment of, uplifting each other. And I think that's just an important allegory, so to speak. It's an important concept that most men don't understand because, like you said, and I think this is also because of your influence as, a college athlete, you thought that people just come in there and, they're already superstars, right? And that's just how it happens naturally. But no, I think most men don't understand the concept that you need to train yourself. You need to understand that. And most of us don't really have that mentorship, right? And then we never realized that. We never really taught that. And now you're at the forefront of this and you're teaching the same things to men. Tanika, I want to ask, and this is something, this is one of the first questions I really wanted to ask. First of all, in your Super Bowl podcast, I've forgotten the host of the name, but you were a guest of the Super Bowl podcast and you talked about the rock bottom sandwich. Talk to us, why is a rock bottom sandwich, but also how does it relate to your nickname, the fire starter? And how does that relate to the overall concept that you just taught us that now, right now, of training, practice, and then the game?
So the rock bottom sandwich metaphor is really powerful because I've heard a lot of guys talk about how they came from rock bottom and or how they hit rock bottom. And sometimes I when I used to hear myself tell that story, I would say, look, I need you to understand that not only was I at rock bottom, I was at rock bottom's rock bottom. I was already at rock bottom and then rock bottom smashed on top of me. So I was going nowhere fast and then rock bottom smashed on top of me, meaning just worldly circumstances. And so I'm in the middle. It's like a Oreo cookie and I'm the filling. So that's the reason it was a rock bottom sandwich is because I was already at rock bottom and then rock bottom smashed on top of me. I wasn't moving. I was stuck. I was in stasis. Wow. Yeah. I was confused. I was overwhelmed. I was emotionally unsettled. I was living in my vices. I was unbalanced. I was unfocused. The list goes on. Right? So that's why I was a rock bottom sandwich. And the way that relates to the name, the fire starter, is because when I stepped into an environment, now listen, wasn't really sure I was stepping into an environment where I was going to get some high level training. Right. I just knew that I need community. And when you're isolated, when you are in a space of isolation, it's easy to sit with your own thoughts and think that that's the only way, the only thing that's occurring in your life. So isolation makes your world much smaller. And so literally and, you know, figuratively, but it makes your world much smaller. So you don't necessarily see, you can't see the big picture. You can't see the forest through the trees when you're isolated, because you're, because your perspective is so minimized. So when I stepped into an environment of entrepreneurs and high level men who were living their life on an intentional way, with a, on an intentional basis, what I started to realize, Joshua, is that when you are in an environment of men who have done exceptional, you know, extensive amounts of training, and then who are stepping into greater levels in terms of their training, I was very curious about it. So I remember I did a talk. Yeah, so I started getting into speaking, and I did a talk. And the guy who now is the CEO of the entrepreneurs community I'm a part of, he came up to me after I did the talk. He said, he's British. He's like, mate, I love what you just did. He said, I think with my help, we can get you from great to excellent, and then from excellent to transcendent. And I was like, oh, well, damn, sign me up.
All right. Let's go.
I'll do that for sure. Right on. Yeah, for sure. So we hop on a call like this, and then he says to me, he says, Sanyika, what do you do? Mm-hmm. I said, okay, what do I do? I said, well, I'm a speaker, I'm a storyteller, I'm a coach, I'm all those different things. And then he looks at me and he says, Sanyika, those are modalities. He says, No. Those are modalities.
Right.
He says, what do you do? Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, I have no idea what you're talking about. I was like, what? What do you mean, what do I do? I don't know. You know, whatever. We'll figure this out at some point.
I just told you.
A minute goes by, I just told you, right, exactly. A minute goes by, 2 minutes goes by, 3 minutes goes by, about 4.5 minutes, 5 minutes. I'm sitting there dumbfounded trying to figure out what he's talking about. And then I said, I think I start fires in people. So he goes, I say, I think I start fires in people. And then he says, oh, so you're a fire starter.
Right. Wow.
And then I go,
wow.
Maybe. I was like, what's a fire starter? I was like, I don't even know what that means. He says, sit with it. He said, sit with it. Take it. You know, just sit with it. You know, let me know what comes up. And then after that, I went to a friend of mine who was actually working on my media kit. He's working on like some media press material for me. And then he said, you know, I said, what do you think about this fire starter thing? And then he says, I don't really know if I like the fire starter thing. He said, I think you should talk more about your height, because you don't ever talk about your height, you know. And, you know, he's like, you know, you're a big guy. I'm 6'8". And he said, and so then I thought about it after I left him that day. And I said, you know, I don't like the idea of making it about my height, because I said, everybody can't be 6'8". But everybody can be a fire starter.
Wow.
And then I was like, oh, that's the one. That's so it. That journey of going from rock bottom sandwich to the conversation, you know, the training environment was this, it was a conversation. The training environment was the conversation. And the practice in being open and being vulnerable was in having the initial conversation with somebody. He offers help. I accept it. That was training. I said, oh, you know what? I need to accept the help. True. I stepped up into the call. I was present. He said, what do you do? I didn't get defensive. You know, it's my training. Mm-hmm. I listened. I was like, you know, let me see how that works. And so I processed the information, I absorbed the information, and then I stepped in and I said, you know, I think I start fires in people about 5 minutes in.
Wow. All right.
What happened was that during that period, Joshua, what I was doing is I was learning how to be more mindful and more open to input and feedback and everything. And as I was open to more input and feedback, it created so much possibility. And eventually what it did is it evolved to the point where he was like, you know, you start firing some people.
Wow.
You know? And that level of my authenticity, my honesty, and his curiosity and connection to what it was that I was doing and who I was, it basically took me from training, put me in practice, and then we started practicing so that by the time I get to the game, which is real life, by the time I get to the game, everything just runs like top to bottom, powerfully and smoothly.
That's fantastic. And just what a way to put it together, because it all came together, right? And you mentioned that earlier when it came to masculinity, right? We were taught to isolate ourselves. You know, it was normal to be a man and you just figure out your own shit, you know, basically, because you're a man, you know? You don't figure it out, right? But the problem is we're not trained or we're not taught to reach out to people. And I love that you mentioned community, because I think that's the very important aspect that we're losing slowly in our lives, if not in the last 10 or so, you know, a decade or so, where we started losing the concept of community. And this has really damaged our idea of living, our quality of life, but more so than men to men, because we thought that, you know, we're supposed to be islands, we're supposed to figure it out on our own. But again, that's the training part, right? You get into conversations, you get into a community with other people, and that's what allowed you to be vulnerable. That's what allowed you to step into your identity as the fire starter and get into the game and teach other men the same things. And I love that, because you talked about this again in one of the podcasts, the Spartan Leadership Podcast, where you took that moment of the rock bottom sandwich, transition to impacting men, you know, asking who I want to be, why I haven't delivered. And it's because you were not, it's on your shirt. You talked to us a little bit about that, but also you talked a little bit about the coffee allegory, about masculinity being redefined. I kind of felt bad because I just had coffee this morning. And then you're talking about that allegory, like if it's poison, would you have that? Talk to us a little bit about that and how, you know, because now that you're in the game and now that you are telling us that you need to step into that identity, you know, after transitioning from the rock bottom sandwich, talk to us a bit about the allegory of redefining. Do we really need to define masculinity? And also, how do you step into that? It's because you were not all in. What does that mean, Zanika?
I'll tell you exactly what it means, Joshua.
Please.
Can you show me the handbook that you use on what it means to be a man in society? Can you show me real quick? Man.
Oh, man. I wish I had it on hand, but I don't think there is one at all.
Got it. There's a lot of guys looking for the handbook. Who am I? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to operate?
Right.
What am I supposed to do? There's a lot of confusion. There's a significant amount of confusion. And here's what's happened. You know, there's been a referendum on masculinity.
Yes.
And that referendum on masculinity pretty much emerged in large part from the Me Too movement. And that referendum on masculinity has become this this battle cry that, you know, that, and again, rightfully so, that men who have been operating in positions of power have taken advantage of and abused their power to the detriment of women, children, and to some degree, society at large. Look, men are responsible for some of the most amazing creations known to mankind.
Of course.
We've built societies and civilizations, buildings, bridges, structural compositions. We have worked the long hours. We have contributed to the manufacturing of movements. We have fought in wars. We have done exceptional things in this world. We have done exceptional things. And so we must acknowledge the contributions that men have made to society first. It is of utmost importance.
Yes.
And at the same time, we can acknowledge that, that if we're going to acknowledge the light, we also get to acknowledge the shadow.
Of course.
And the shadow is that there has been also devastation and destruction at the hands of men as well.
That is true.
Now, that's what I like to call radical responsibility, which is one of my foundational philosophies. So for me, at the foundation of who I am, the all and all in stands for alignment and the IN stands for integrity.
There you go.
So I get to acknowledge my light. I get to acknowledge my, my greatest contributions. And I also get to acknowledge the shadow element associated with who I am as well. The dark side, right?
Of course.
And so as we navigate through these things, there's no manual on how to navigate through that, that part. The confusion, the part that a lot of guys don't really want to see. So what happens is that in this referendum, this period of time where there's a referendum on masculinity, on how to approach being a man in the world, what happened, what's essentially happened is that there's this whole wave of the idea of how men are not supposed to operate in society. But when you bring up the idea of masculinity, then what people do is they shoot it down because the concept goes, okay, well, you know, the masculinity is toxic. Masculinity is the reason that society is the reason that society is poisoned or broken or any of those kind of things. And that's where I brought up the coffee analogy. So the coffee analogy is like this. If I tell you, like, let's say for the sake of this conversation that you're somebody that likes coffee. Do you like coffee, Joshua?
I love coffee.
Okay, so you drink coffee, right? So let's just say you drink coffee. And then as a result, is it okay if I offer you some coffee?
Sure, please. I would love to.
Great. Awesome. So I'll offer you some coffee. So I give you a cup of coffee, right? And then I tell you that the coffee is poison, right?
Oh.
Are you going to drink that cup of coffee?
I would not at all. No way.
Okay. No way, right? Let's just say that not only do I tell you that the drinking the cup, that the coffee is poison, do you think that it's going to affect the way that you look at coffee for the rest of your life?
Oh, absolutely. It would. It would.
For
I
sure.
wouldn't trust anyone who gives me coffee after that.
Yeah. You wouldn't trust them. And that's what people don't understand when they have, conversations about masculinity being toxic. Is that what you're saying essentially is that the coffee is poison. You're saying that the identity of men, that the men are poisoned. And my belief is that if you are actually operating in true masculine leadership, true masculinity is not, cannot be poisoned. True masculinity is actually at the foundation of the fabric of protection and provision in society.
There you go. It's
when you have a man that is operating in his masculinity, then what you have is you actually have a protector. There's no way it could be toxic, because when masculinity is operating in its highest capacity, then what it means is that that man is operating in his ultimate level of leadership.
Yes.
It means he is operating as a leader. That's what's happening. Mm-hmm. And he is effective in his leadership. Masculinity in its highest vibration cannot be toxic. This the same thing with you know, hypothetically with femininity, but we're talking about masculinity in this conversation. So the reason why that's so important
is because
when guys are looking to step into their identity, into who they are, and then they go, oh, well, you know, I don't want to be seen as toxic. I don't want to be seen as poisonous. So what they do is they go, you know what? I'm not even going to go down the rabbit hole because I don't want to be seen as toxic. Because all masculinity is this toxic thing that destroys society. So my invitation to people who even use that term or who operate with that term is to eradicate the idea that masculinity in its essence can be toxic. The way that it's processed is that it's not toxic. It's not that the masculinity is toxic. It's that men are toxic. It's that men are poisoned. is that men have this poisonous, flawed, broken element associated with them, and it's masculinity, and it's the patriarchy, and it's all these other things. And the bottom line is that when it comes to how we show up as men, we get to show up as men being proud that we are operating in a more effective state of our leadership. Right.
There you go.
So that's the coffee cup analogy, is that masculinity, similar to that coffee, is that if that coffee is poisonous, then nobody's going to want to touch it. When you say that masculinity is toxic, no guy wants to touch anything about it who doesn't understand what it truly is. So what happens is that you actually confuse them away from stepping into their leadership. So you're creating distance from a man actually stepping deeper into his calling. So when I talk about true masculine leadership is real, grounded leadership. The key word is, when you think about masculinity, ownership. So when you have a man that is really in his ownership, his leadership, which is ownership, that he is grounded in that. That's what masculinity is. Masculinity is a grounding agent.
Wow.
Masculinity is grounded as the structural component. It is organizational. It is provision. It is all things that provide for the greater good of society and mankind as a whole. All right. So when a guy steps into his true masculine leadership, what that essentially means is that that man is leveling up the game for himself. Now, my personal belief is that if you are a man walking this planet, then your leadership is non-negotiable.
Of course.
It means that it is non-negotiable for you to be a leader.
Wow. Wow.
So here's what that means. I'm just going to clear this up so that anybody understands it. If you are in a home, and you are in that environment, and you are stewarding others, meaning that you are in a relationship, you have kids and everything like that, then there's no 50-50.
Wow.
You are the leader.
Of course.
I'm going to let that sit, and I'm going to let whoever needs to get triggered by it, get triggered by it. I'll explain it in a second. Because right now, in the silence, people are, what do you mean? No 50-50. What do you mean you're a leader? I'll explain in a second. I'm just going to let you get triggered for a moment. Let us sit for a minute. Let us stir you up a little bit more. Got it. Here's the way it works. The leader is not the oligarch. The leader is not the autocrat. The leader is not the dictator. The leader is the holder of the vision.
There you go. Wow.
The leader is the holder of the vision. So in the context of relationship, in the context of your family, the leader is the one who holds the vision. So I am the steward of the vision. So that means that me, my wife, has a vision for her life. I have a vision for my life. As it relates to the effective implementation, organization, and the way that that integrates us from a structural standpoint, is that as the man in the home, I am the leader in terms of the whole, in terms of the stewarding of that vision.
Yes.
And there's a lot of guys who don't know how to effectively steward a vision. They don't know how to steward a vision. And trust me, I didn't know how to steward a vision when I first got into it. Is it a collaborative aspect? For sure is it collaborative. You couldn't do it on your own if you tried. There's no way you could do it on your own. But that's what some people think leadership means. People think leadership means that I do it on my own. I'm like, look, that's part of the reason why you're drowning anyway. First of all, it's because you think leaders, but that's part of your training. You haven't been training, right? If you think about this from a basketball team or anything like that, there's five players on a basketball court. The leader is not the only person dribbling the ball, shooting the ball, rebounding the ball, coaching the team, all that other kind of that. That's not what the leader is doing. The leader is the effective steward of the vision. He's the person who is ultimately responsible for the delivery of an outcome or an objective. But that's not the game that most people want to play. And that's not the game a lot of guys want to play. They don't want to be like, you know what? I'm ultimately responsible. right? Because if I switch it around like that, and I say, and I look at you, Josh, when I say, look, I say the leader is the you know, every guy non-negotiable needs to be the leader. The people go, oh, well, what are you talking about? Well, why? What do you mean? Are you the person who's telling everybody what to do, right? So that's one way. But then I go, the leader is the guy who's ultimately responsible. And then people start running the opposite direction. Because they don't want the heat. They don't want the smoke. They don't want the weight of that.
That's true.
You mean
that's
ultimately true. Responsible? I'm ultimately responsible for the for what happens in my home? Well, yeah, dude, you are.
Of course.
For sure.
Yes.
You are ultimately responsible. It is your responsibility to ensure that your family is safe. It's your responsibility to make sure that your family is taken care of. It's your responsibility to make sure that, yeah, for sure, that's your role. That's your job. Mm-hmm. That is your job. Mm-hmm. So for the guys that are getting triggered by this, for the women that are getting triggered by this, I understand. And look, for many people who, you know, having this conversation about traditional roles, part of the reason that relationships don't work is because they don't have effective roles anyway. So for the people who are in this conversation are asking, like, you know, well, he's talking about traditional roles or this role or that role. My question to you is very simple. If take a look at your relationship right now, mm-hmm. and please clearly identify and write down the roles that you and your partner have explicitly agreed to. What are the mm-hmm. roles? Mm-hmm. Many people have not explicitly agreed to roles in their relationship anyway. So even in this conversation that we're having right now, where many people could adopt it and take it and say, yo, you know, whether we're talking about traditional roles or that role or this role or that role. And what I'm saying is that many people haven't even identified a role, period. So they don't even know what they're doing in the relationship.
Exactly.
And everyone needs a role. Everyone needs something mm-hmm. to do. Everyone needs to understand how to operate. So when someone understands how to, when a guy understands how to operate and he understands what his role is, when a woman understands how to operate and what her role is, then they can effectively operate together to run an effective home. And one person has to be responsible for the ultimate outcome of an objective.
Yes.
Two people yeah, can contribute, but one person is responsible. Mm-hmm. Multiple people contribute, but one person's responsible. Mm-hmm. All right. When a team doesn't win, they don't go to everybody and say, well, you know, it's five players on the court and it's 100, you know, 100%. So that's 20% for each player. No, that's not the way it works. The coach gets fired. If the team don't win, the coach gets fired.
Of course.
Right. If it's a soccer team, it's like, it's not like, okay, we take 11 players, then we divide that by 100%. And then, you know, that means you get 9% and you get 9% and you get 9% and you get 9%. Like, that's not the way that this works. All right. It's not the way that this works. You know, we don't divide football by 52% and they go, all right, look, so because we weren't able to achieve this objective, and you get 2% and you get 2%, like, the coach gets fired.
Oh, man.
That's just the nature of how they operate. So it ultimately comes down to leadership, mm-hmm. right? And that's triggering for a lot of people because there've been proven to be ineffective approaches to being a leader. They've been proven ineffective approaches to understanding how to lead. So my job, my responsibility is to put guys in a position so they can effectively understand how to show up and be effective in their relationships and beyond.
Right. And that is also about showing up for yourself and knowing what that kind of defined leadership that is required, right? Because you mentioned also again in that coffee allegory, is like, we don't have to redefine masculinity. We actually have to define it because we've actually started to lose that meaning. Right, because you kept saying that whenever we talk about traditional roles, that's triggering to a lot of people. But when you actually stop and pause and say that, hold on, we're just talking about like actual roles that needs to be defined because we've actually lost them. Because Sanika, I want to tell you that this hits home for me, and I'm glad I asked that question because it was so recent, last Christmas. My fiance kicked me out 4 days before Christmas. And it was because I know in my heart that I did not fulfill my role as a man of being the protector and the provider. I love that you said that because I think that is the main foundational definition of our purpose and responsibility as men, because, and we've lost that. That's the problem right now. That's why we want to separate ourselves from that. I love how you said it. They don't want the smoke. They don't want the heat, because no one wants responsibility, right? No one wants that. But it is your purpose. And that's why I think the fabric of society is kind of in shambles right now, is because most men are shying away from that leadership, you know? And women have had to take on that role. They have to have, you know, they have to be the boss lady, they have to be the provider of the family. And I think it's because most men are really not approaching that kind of, you know, purpose anymore. We don't want that. And I love that there is a shift right now of leaders like you who are teaching that kind of responsibility. Hey, you got to get back into it. You are a protector. You are a provider. Get that, you know, get that handled, get that together, because that's what's really important first and foremost. And again, you said showing up for your family, showing up as the foundation. But I think it's really important, of course, that showing up for yourself. And I understand these are one of the things that you help men overcome, those rock bottom moments. What are other strategies and coaching approaches that allowed you to help men navigate challenges and setbacks in your life, apart from, you know, apart from defining this responsibility, going all in? What were the particular strategies for you that stands out, that allows you to help men?
One of the most important strategies is really an awareness. Right. It's really the first awareness. And the first awareness is, if I ask you what comes first in your life, what would you say?
What comes first in my life is I would like to, my dream to be a provider.
Got it. Your dream to be a provider. Many guys, I would ask that question, and they would say family. Right.
Wow.
They say family first. Right. And it totally makes, it's relevant, makes sense. It's everything, right? That family first.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And no, your family doesn't come first.
Wow.
Your family does not come first. Wow. Would you like to know what comes first, Joshua?
Please, I'd love to know. I've never heard of this concept.
Got it. Your sanity.
Of course. Of course.
Your sanity comes first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your family doesn't come first. Because if you are insane, meaning if you're going crazy, bending over backwards, doing everything you can for everyone else without serving yourself, then your family will not prosper. You cannot effectively lead.
That is true. Right?
So your sanity comes first. It is the way that you honor yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So the reason that why there are a significant amount of guys that are out of shape, and there's a significant amount of guys who are not pursuing their dream, and a significant amount of guys that are not living in their purpose, is because they've put everyone else first. And they've done it to their own detriment. But it's not their, but it's the reason why that happens is not like a conscious choice. They're not doing it on purpose. But what's actually happened is that they're stuck in a cycle called the self-abandonment cycle.
Right.
Wow. They're stuck in the sack. Mm-hmm. Most people hear about self-sabotage, right? Like self-sabotage. And that makes it seem like when I'm going in my life, I'm doing these things and I'm like, I'm going to destroy my life. Like I'm sabotaging my life. I'm procrastinating.
So natural.
I'm lazy. And I'm right. I'm going to destroy. Like I'm so much in control that I'm sabotaging my life. Most people don't even know that they're sabotaging their life. Wow. They don't know that they're sabotaging their life. And the reason why is because they don't even understand that they have a life worth living. They don't have hobbies. They don't have friends. They don't have anything. They just, they're mules. They literally, you can put anything on their back and they'll ride into the wind, and they'll be like, you know what, this is, you know, I'll do it, right? The I'll do it guys. Just put it on my back and I'll do it. I'll do everything. I'll do everything. I'll overserve. I'll overdeliver all the time. And then I will put myself last in the line of people to eat. And as a result of that, that's the way that I'll operate in my life. And I will constantly feel like I'm overdelivering and being underappreciated to that degree. And that will be my way of living for the entirety of my existence. Wow. So then what happens is that self-abandonment cycle, of it informs everything. It informs the way that they move through the world.
Right.
So when you're stuck in that self-abandonment cycle, Joshua, then that becomes your way of living. So part of the work that I do is about helping guys come into the awareness that they've been abandoning themselves. And one of the ways that guys abandon themselves is they don't understand what to put first. Right? They don't understand what to put first. The first thing is your family doesn't come first. Your sanity comes first. The thing that comes that informs your sanity is your faith. So I'm a Christian man. I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that you actually have to be that. Mm-hmm. My programs are non-denominational, like all that kind of stuff. But when it comes down to it, like, your faith is a critical component of your life. And if your faith does not necessarily exist in the context of it being around a deity, many guys have just lost simply the belief in themselves.
That is true.
Just the belief. This is not about money. This is a matter of what your financial situation is. Most of the guys I work with are very successful, but they've lost the belief in themselves, the faith in themselves. Or in a higher purpose. So I bring this up because your faith and your sanity, then your family. And those two, your faith and your sanity infused, inform a powerful family unit that you get to experience. So the first thing that when it comes to really like reorienting yourself as a guy, the most important thing is your fitness.
Of course.
Your fitness is the easiest way to access it, access transformation. It's the easiest way to see results. It's the easiest way to see yourself moving. It's the easiest way to get your body, your mind, your spirit moving, right? And when you are getting your body, mind, and your spirit moving, man, it transforms everything. But rededicating yourself to your fitness is a really important and critical thing. It's the easiest thing for guys to do. Step into your fitness practice. And for the guys that are like, man, I don't know if I have the time and I don't know if I have the space or the wherewithal to actually do it. And let me just offer this, is that the way that this gets done to be the most effective is that when you're really doing this, is that if you have a life that you are not excited about and you get adequate or excessive sleep, then you need to change. You need to change something immediately.
Right.
If you have a life that you are not excited about, laptop mode, just elated, and you're getting good sleep, then that needs to shift.
Right.
You're getting you're getting a lot of sleep. Then that needs to shift. So what I'm saying is, the very first thing I had to do in my life is I said, "Look, I'm gonna cut some hours of sleep."
All right.
I stopped getting up at 6. I started getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And then eventually I started to get the sleep on the front end of my going to sleep as opposed to getting on the back end. So now I get adequate sleep, but it started by me cutting my sleep. So I said, look, I'm going to cut my sleep. Get up at 4 in the morning. Create more time. Because when you wake up, generally for guys who are in leadership positions, they already have kids, they have partners, they have, so when you wake up in service. So you got to get yourself up earlier. Wow. You got to get up earlier in the morning. So you have more time for you, for your fitness practice, for your spiritual devotional practice, for whatever it is that you're looking to step into in your life. Those are really important things to do. So you have to move mountains. You got to shift things so that you can create the space for yourself. So every morning I go as my part of my devotional practice, my faith practice, and my sanity practice. I do my personal process in the morning, and then I do my gym process and my exercise process, my fitness routine. And that is transformative for me. So that by the time I get back home, I can step into serving my family because I've taken care of my sanity and my faith. By the way, one of the things I tell people is that when I go to the gym, I don't call it the gym. I'm just calling it the gym for the context of this conversation. But what I really call it is church.
Oh, wow.
I call the gym church. Wow. And I go to church every day.
That's cool.
I go to church every day. Right. And every time I'm in a process that is challenging, every time I'm in a struggling on a set, every time I'm doing squats and I'm having trouble getting up, every time I'm doing curls and I'm having trouble getting the bar up, I tell myself, this is what you pray for.
Of course. Wow. Beautiful. That's beautiful.
So the fitness part is a critical component. So I step into my fitness. Right. So my fitness. So now I've stepped into my fitness. I serve my family. And then I get my business in order. Right.
There you go.
So there's some specified skill sets that must be acquired, learned, adapted, and grown. So training that you need to operate effectively in the gym. Now, here's the thing. In the gym, in the home, in the business, there are a ton of people who are committed to not getting results. There's a lot of people who go to the gym. I've seen them for almost a year. And they are very, very committed to going to the gym and not getting results. They look the same.
Wow.
They look the same. I see a lot of people who have gone to the, who go to the, who not only go to the gym, but they're people in relationships. And those relationships are still operating the exact same. They not getting results.
Right.
Not intimate, not, you know, loving, not thriving, not powerful, just the same old in the business, operating, same thing, not getting results. Right. My offering, the reason why I'm bringing this up, Joshua, is because there's a lot of people who are committed in situations where they're not getting results. And that's because they don't have adequate training.
There you go.
You need to train adequately with the right people so that you can step into the next level of your life. That's what going all in is. It's leveling up your training so you can be more effective in your leadership of yourself, of others, of anyone else that comes into contact with you. This is about leveling up the game so that you can be the greatest version of yourself and be in the highest version of your leadership as well.
I love how you put that all together because I want to start off with what you said, waking up in service. Beautiful. I mean, that's just like beautiful way to start the day because first of all, you have to wake up in service of yourself first, right? You need that sanity. You need to take care of yourself. And you said one of the biggest aspects apart from fitness is also your faith. But I love that because it brings it together because you call the gym your church. And isn't going to that church every day and putting that time in for your fitness is also faith in yourself, believing in yourself, taking care of yourself, and making sure that all that is taken care of first thing in the day so you can be in service of the people you love. It's beautiful. I love that, Sanika. It's probably my favorite part of this show right now, and we have covered so much. You've given us so much right now. And I think that leads straight to this topic of yours in one of your keynotes where you talk about self-treason. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm trying to remember a few lines here. You say, when you betray yourself and your journey, your struggles are not forever. They only last for a season. Scars don't mean you're broken. They are proof you stop bleeding. I love that. And everything happens in life for a reason, and the reason or the one that decides that reason is you. And that's very important because you need to know why you're doing these things. Why are you waking up in service of yourself and of the people around you? Sanika, this is one of your keynotes, I believe, and you're now a highly sought international speaker. You're reaching millions. You're inspiring others through your coaching programs. What drives you every day to share that message? You've kind of answered that question already, but also every time you do those keynotes, what do you hope audiences take away every single time you are up there?
Hmm. I'm very impressed that you remember that line from The Reason.
Oh, I did my homework.
Apparently, yeah, you did a lot of homework, and I respect that, and it's very admirable, so thank you for bringing that up. One of the things that I tell people is that when I do keynotes, when I do talks, I incorporate spoken word. Mm-hmm. And as I tell people, you know, my 10,000 hours is as a writer. Just a writer trapped in the body of an NFL lineman, but I'm a writer, right? And so communicator, speaker. And so when I do talks, the talks are incorporate spoken word and incorporate music and storytelling. Yes. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing that I impart to people when I do talks, Joshua, is what I do is I impart to them infinite power.
Wow. Wow.
What I really feel like is that I'm not just giving them access to information. Like I'm not an informational download speaker. Right. What I'm giving people access to is life force energy. I'm giving them access to the power that exists within them so that they can unleash that power in service of creating a better environment for the people that they serve. Because everyone serves someone.
Yes. Right? Yes.
So everybody serves someone. So my intention in the talks is to help them to really understand what power is, how to manifest it, how to have it live in your space and your spirit every single day, how to amplify it, how to understand what it truly is, like what that power in you actually is. So when I'm doing a talk, I want somebody to walk out of there feeling more powerful. I want them to feel more capable, to feel more worthy, to feel more able, to feel more present in their daily existence, you know, to be more intentional in terms of the way they want to move. So that's the ultimate objective as it relates to me. And I am excited about just what that means overall, you know, and because the more I'm able to touch people and to help them access their own power, and the more leaders I'm able to inspire and to train, the safer, the more empowered, and the more effective I feel like the society and the world that we're creating actually becomes.
That is true. And I love that. I love that you said there is unlimited power in all of us. And that is very true. You know, if that's not truer than it's always been, but we've lost that faith in ourselves, like you said, that we just don't have the, you know, we just don't have the capabilities anymore. And I love that you are part of this forefront of men, of coaches, helping others believe that, hey, you've got that power in you. We just need to wake that up. And that's what makes you the fire starter, Sanyika. I always wonder, you know, as much as I love to keep you on longer, I want to try to always wrap up episodes like this, but this is more a little bit more winded, long-winded, so to speak. But I want to ask about the future, Sanyika, and where you see your future aspirations laid. But before that, I want you to relate that in a way, somehow, about what you said, perhaps your most powerful coaching story. And I remember this in one of the podcasts that you were a guest in. You said it was your 50-year-old brother, and he went up to you and he said, "Yika, I need your help." And you talk a lot about, you know, him reliving his trauma resurfacing, your body keeping the score. What happened here? How did you help your brother? And how do you see yourself impacting men who are going through the same and seeing yourself in the future?
Thank you for the story. One of the most powerful coaching experiences I ever had, as you mentioned, was with my oldest brother. And he was navigating through some really challenging points in his life. And he's in his early 50s, and he just came up to me one day and he said, "I need your help." And when he first said that to me, I was like, "Oh, what do you, why would you need my help? You're my older brother." And then when I thought about it, I thought, because of the fact that we have these identities that we carry, these aspects of ourselves that we carry. And part of what I was carrying around with me was the idea that, oh, I'm the younger brother, I'm the baby in the family, I'm the, this is, who I am. How in the world could I positively impact what my brother is going through? Regardless of the fact that I have rebuilt myself, built my own life, built a successful business, I spend every single day of the, in the process of helping men to step into the greatest version of themselves. Why would I even think that I could actually help my older brother? But the reason why I didn't believe I could help my older brother is because I was, in that moment, for a split second, I was operating in a space where I was making it about me.
Wow.
Joshua, this work isn't about me. This work is not about me. Basketball player on the court, I'm here to score points. Yes, I score points. Yes, I grab rebounds. Yes, I do those things. But I'm playing for the people in the seats. I'm playing for the fans,
Right.
I'm playing for the stakeholders in the team. The stakeholders in the team. So for me, when my brother came up to me and helped, what he was essentially asking me was, I am going through a challenging situation where I'm navigating some tough life circumstances. I believe that you have been helping people navigate through some tough life circumstances that are very similar to mine. And if the life circumstances that you have been helping people to be able to navigate, if you have been doing so effectively and you have adequate proof within your body and your consciousness and your awareness, then what I would like you to do is to be able to help me navigate through my tough life circumstances, because you've been able to help other people in their tough life circumstances. It's really about just verification. It's like if you have a friend who's a gardener and you need some gardening help, you're going to ask your friend to help you garden.
There you go.
If you got a flat tire on your car and you got a friend who fixes flat tires, you'll go to your friend who helps you fix flat tires.
Let's go.
In this instance, my brother was navigating through some challenging life circumstances associated with who he is, identity work, that kind of stuff. And he was like, I'm looking for some support. And so the thing is that when you make it about yourself, then it's like, well, who am I? I'm like, it's not even about you. The whole reason that God gave you this gift is so you could stop making it about you anyway.
Wow.
You got the gift. Now take the gift and multiply it exponentially so that you can be in service. And as a result of you being in service, here's what happens when you operate in the highest level of your service. You can fulfill your life's purpose. You can nourish your family and to the point where you all can live the desired lifestyle that you want. And you can impact as many people as you want positively because of the fact that you are aware of the gifts that you have to give. That's the beauty and the benefit of operating in your highest level of service. But when you make it about you, which of course I used to do at a certain point, or when you make it about, your limitations, your own, limiting beliefs, then what happens is that you become victim to the fear of what will happen if your service was on full blast. And I no longer operate in that. I understand what my service is. I understand what the impact is I'm looking to create in the world. And I'm calling men forward. And the guys that I am calling forward are not the guys who are, who don't want to be leaders. The guys who I'm calling forward, I'm calling all kings.
Let's go.
Those are the guys that I'm calling forward. So the guys that want to step into their kingship, the guys that really want to rise into being kings, those are the guys I'm calling for. And those are the guys that go all in.
Right. And Zanika, I understand this is one of your offerings, and one of your website is called callingallkings.com. And it is an important calling for today. It is an important calling for everyone, you know, for men, for the foreseeable future, for the future generations of men and boys who are, you know, who needs to learn this proper, how you say it, a proper leadership, a masculine leadership. And we need to put that forward. And it's very important. Zanika, I want to give you this opportunity. We've had this profound talk, probably one of the most profound talks I've ever had, and definitely the most profound episode I've had on this show. I've had the honor of having you as a guest as well. Zanika, I want to give this opportunity to you. Where can we find you? Where can we connect with you? And where can we stay updated in your future as a leader, as the fire starter? Please let us know.
Thank you for that. Joshua, this has been an exceptional conversation with you as well. Shout out to Shaheen for facilitating it and making it happen. You can find me at theallinceo.com. You can find out more about our upcoming campaign at callingallkings.com. And but the All In CEO is the primary hub for people to come in and to take a look at what we're creating with men and helping men step into their greatest version of their leadership. And you can also find me on Instagram at the All In CEO, or on Facebook, and you get the Firestarter Street. And but before you reach out, I just want to say this.
All right.
Before you reach out, I'd like you to set a powerful intention. Yes. Set a powerful intention on what it is that you believe that you would like to create. And after you identify what it is that you'd like to create, then I'd like you to reach out. Because intention creates experience. So when you step into a powerful intention, that intention creates experience. Mm-hmm. So be intentional. Have an idea of what it is that you are looking to create. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what happens. But I'm always down for making magic happen.
Let's go. That kind of magic happens every day with the Firestarter himself. But also, again, it starts with you. That's true. Be intentional. Know what you want. Know why you have to deliver these things, what you need to be delivering in life. And I'm just grateful to have, you know, to have this moment, this guidance, you know, not just for me, but for our audience and listeners as well. Zanika, again, it's been exceptional. It's been profound. I am very honored, and I am very, very glad that you took on the time to have this interview, to have this show with us today. Zanika, thank you so much. Thank you for the time.
You are very welcome, Joshua. It's been an honor to be here. And for the guys that are looking to level up their training so they can practice better and play in the game of life, this is the environment to go all in.
Let's go. That is true. And I invite all our audience and listeners to do the same. Go check out allinceo.com, callingallkings.com. And this is your calling. This is it. This is your calling to go all in on that environment. Get updated, get connected with Zanika. And Zanika, thanks again.
Indeed. Thank you, brother.
To all our audience and listeners out there, see you on the next one.
All right, so here's the thing. We try to get a little bit better every day, but we can't do it without you. So if you like the video, make sure to like and subscribe below. And if you have any comments, just leave them in the space under it.